So this is a chance to put it in every single door. So would you help me? And remember, this week, next week, the next week, throughout the Easter holidays, these are going to be going out. There's actually going to be 54 10-second ads on RTE television telling people this is coming into the door and to look for it. This has been a project, been on work, and finally we've got a copy to be able to show you and things, but it's going out just as fast as it's been printed. So just in your heart of hearts, just realize some people are going to be reading the gospel. Pray for it. And as if they're in the area, they're going to be contacting a number up in Dublin, an 01 number, and then they'll be contacting us saying, go visit them. So we may have some work, and but it counts on prayer. Yes, ma'am. There is, and I was trying to find it. I know, he sent it, and I printed it out, and I might have it in my bag. Did it get left in the tax activity center? I'm sorry. So I'll have it on Wednesday again. We'll just have to keep trying to fit it. But I just ask you a prayer. Prayer will make the difference, okay? Because it lets God know that He's welcome. Okay, so now let's hand those of you, I hope you brought your outlines per couple. See if you can hand that out. I don't know if I've got any biros or anything here. I might have a few. If you got one, all the better. Or two or three. I got a few here. We'll see if anybody needs one of these. Okay, I want to finish up our study on soul winning tonight. And really, you never really finish. What I'm teaching you is some basics, some foundational. But once you know this, you can refine your understanding. You never have, you know, really just one thing you say. Everybody's different. One person, you may deal with a problem with addiction. Next person, you may deal with a problem with the family. You know, you're meeting people where they're at. And you're taking, and this is the truth, you're taking people where they're at and getting them to realize they need only one thing, Jesus Christ. Counseling, drugs, hospital, all of these things are attempts to fix something that only Jesus Christ can fix. So you're trying to fix and trying to help people know that there is an answer, and the answer is spelled J-E-S-U-S. Now, Proverbs 11:30, who can quote it for me? Can anybody quote it? Raise your hand. Proverbs 11:30. Yes, Brother Martin. Amen. So we're talking about soul winning, not argument winning, but soul winning. Last week, we started this on how do we win souls, and it starts with prayer. Really, we wonder why we're so powerless. We wonder why when we're dealing in the spiritual realm that we have no effectiveness because we have not prayed. So make sure your first feeling there was last week we learned you've got to pray and ask God not to fill you with knowledge. All the knowledge in the world, knowledge puffeth up. Amen. All the knowledge is not going to make the difference. You need Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Not with wine, not with drink, not with television, everything else. Get God's heartbeat. Get His burden for the people you're about to teach. Secondly, what's the second thing we should do? First, pray. Second, go. Amen. Go into all the world. That means go wherever people are. Amen. I believe when Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. I believe born-again, Bible-believing Christians should have sailed around the world. They should have discovered the new world. They should have discovered Antarctica. They should have found every square inch of this world because they're the ones who are going looking for people. Amen? Third, so we said go wherever a person is. And there are three ways to go. Does anybody remember them? Go naturally. Don't be so stiff. I know you're scared when you're talking, but you know, when they can see that you're a real person, just talking from your own heart about the experience that you've had in knowing the truth, go naturally. Secondly, go particularly. And then thirdly, what's the third one? Go regularly. That's why we have soul winning on Saturdays at 1, trying to get in before the matches start at 2 and 3. Amen? We already said that. Then there's a right approach, isn't it? I mean, should you? I know people call us Bible bashers, but what our approach is the golden rule: be courteous, amen. Treat people like you would want to be treated, if you had never heard the gospel. Don't set out to embarrass people. We're not here to try to show off. I know everybody tells me, and they're afraid because they're going, oh, you know so much more than I do. And you want to make sure that you're not setting out to embarrass people and showing off. Now, just briefly, we go on. After you go in all the world, what's the third point? What should we tell them about? The cross. Teach them the cross. Now, what are you doing when you're declaring unto them the cross? You know what you're doing? You're trying to get them lost. You're trying to show them, hey, if you're so good, if you're so holy, if you're so righteous, if you're so religious, why did Jesus have to die? It's a good question, amen. You're trying to get them lost. You're trying to show them you're going a different direction than Jesus Christ. He cuts against the grain. He is not pleased with this world, amen. At our best, we are altogether vanity, the Bible says. At our best, we turned away from God. So teach them the cross. We talked about that last week. And let me just get on to the third thing. And then I ended with prod those who are unconcerned. Prod those. So somebody says, hey, I like this and I try different things. But when somebody says, I'm not interested, does that mean I should go, ooh, sorry to bother you? Or do I need to have something to say, but you need this? I need to be quick on the mark to be able to convince them that you may not be concerned about it, but I'm concerned about you. And so don't forget that you were unconcerned one day and somebody kept on you, amen? So stay on people who are unconcerned. Let's take our Bibles, let's go to Jude. Chapter 1 and verse 22. Jude 1, 22. That's the book just before Revelation. Jude 1, 22. Let's see, Miss Gina, would you mind reading 1, 22 and 23? Now, what was the illustration I gave with John last week? Do you remember? Maybe that he was on fire and he didn't even realize it. And I come along and, man, I might hurt him trying to knock out the fire. You know, sometimes, just as Joseph said this morning, sometimes you may have to hurt somebody, not intentionally, not belligerently, but you may have to say something that is offensive to them because you're trying to pull them out of the fire. Because you're trying to make them aware that their soul is in danger. Amen? So, prod those who are unconcerned. You know what I'm telling you? You need to talk with authority. When you're at the door, your knees may be knocking, but your heart needs to be bursting. This is true. Amen? So talk with authority. Don't let anyone think that they have the upper hand. And believe me, I was with Eddie, and Edward and I were standing there, and this big guy, this Irish guy, as I introduced myself, he... I'm ready for it now, but when I was first doing it, I was not ready. He came out of the door and he just came and he gave me a big hug. And he said, and I forget what he said now. Do you remember? He was like, oh, you know, thanks. You guys are great for coming out here. And I'm like, he's trying to shut me up. He's trying to act like the big nice guy. Oh, well, let's all get along, you know. Let's have a big bear hug. Come on, come on. And I pulled away and I said, sir, you must be born again. You've got to sometimes just realize that you're there not to have a bear hug, amen? You're there to get them concerned about their soul. Speak with authority, amen? warn them. Look at Colossians 1:28, to the left there. This is a very important thing. That's why I'm going back over it again. Colossians 1 and 28. Brother Keith, really, their first, Colossians 1 and 28.
It's in the New Testament, brother. Okay.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
This is a tremendous three-point outline. Everyone he spoke to, what was the first thing he did? He warned them. Amen? He warned every person. And when he warned them, then he did what? Taught them, teaching everyone. There was nobody who didn't need teaching. But he was warning and teaching so that why? So that I can present every one of them right with God. Amen? So warn them. Let's go to Ezekiel 33, verse 7. Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. You okay there, Kelly? Ezekiel 33, verse 7, 8, and 9. Ooh.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not seek to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy mouth. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
So there is a day of reckoning for the Christian who is negligent to open their mouth and warn. So do it. Amen. You got to take this serious. God didn't just ask you to do it when it feels good. He says, do it because I put you in charge of that soul right there today. Amen. So take charge. Amen. Speak with authority. Warn them. Plead with them. Beg them to look at what the Bible says. Tell them you'll be, hey, when they sort of say, I'm not interested, say, I'm going to pray for you. Keep the upper hand. Amen. Because they want to know, is there a Christian out there who really cares about them and who's going to care enough to pray for their soul? I'm going to pray that you get saved. Talk that way. Amen. Prod them. They may be unconcerned. So therefore, you should be concerned for them. Now, let's go on to E. You need to be ready to deal with skeptics. You need to be ready to deal with people who have all kinds of different backgrounds. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Brother Kevin O'Keefe. You'll be reading verses 24, 25, and 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You got to be ready to deal with skeptics. People who've already made up their mind and have nothing to do with the Bible or don't think like you. How do you deal with them, Brother Kevin? 25 and 26. No, 2 Timothy.
And serve the Lord with mouth strive, but be gentle unto all men, have to teach patience, the meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves with God for richer, will give them the repentance to the next day, not to them of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him as he will.
Amen. So when they reject you, who are they opposing? Now, we know they're rejecting Jesus, but who are they really opposing? No. Themselves. They're really hurting themselves, okay? So don't take it personally, all right? And what is it doing? You're instructing those that oppose themselves. So how do you instruct them, all right? First of all, if you're going to deal with, and most of the people that we deal with are Roman Catholics. I've got you 8 things here that you need to think about when you're dealing with Roman Catholics. First of all, do not ridicule. Don't attack the Catholic Church. You personally need to do that. Now, maybe you have a strong gospel leaflet. Maybe you have Richard Bennett's From Tradition to Truth. And it does a very good job of explaining the difference between Catholic tradition and Jesus Christ. But you yourself, be very careful not to be against the Catholic Church. That's not your purpose. Amen? Listen, the Catholic Church is all they know. And if you start to attack their church, you've lost them. Amen. You may have to show where the church is wrong, but tell them, I'm not against Catholics. This is not an us against you. They've already dealt with that here in Ireland for a long time, amen? Especially up in the north. You're going to have to be careful because the first thing you're going to say is that you're a Protestant and you're not. We're not protesting anything. We're preaching. And we're preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. We're dealing with how religion has damned this world. Jesus saves. So highlight common beliefs. They're going to wonder whether you're a Jehovah's Witness. Tell them, I am not a Jehovah's Witness. I hit an estate one time where the Jehovah's Witnesses had dealt with them earlier in the morning, and last week the Mormons did. And so the first thing I said for almost all the houses, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness and I'm not a Mormon. Hello. Because they thought that he was just a barrage. Talk to them. The difference is you've got to tell them the big difference that there is that we hold to the authority of the Scriptures. All we do is we say, the Bible says. The Bible says. But the Bible says. Emphasize, hey, you know what they've never had? A personal relationship with their God. They've never realized that God wants them. They, just like I, when I grew up, most everybody you deal with, believe with all their heart that God is too busy, don't they? And that you've got to do a real good song and dance for Him to notice you. You need to tell them He's been looking for them ever since they were born. And then He's been knocking on their heart, and you knocking on their door is God still trying to get their attention. Put some personableness into the conversation. Tell them about their need for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a religious act that you're talking about. Hey, sometimes I've had them say, well, your Bible's different than mine. No problem. If they've got a Catholic confraternity version, ask them to go get it. I dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses and asked them, go get your JW Bible. Go New World Translation, bring it out. And I had no problem going through with it because there are bits and pieces, you just got to know where they are, all right? It's kind of like going and finding a 5-year-old note in a rubbish can, but it's in there, amen? So get them out there. I had a 1948 confraternity version of the Catholic Bible brought out to me. It's a big family Bible, and this guy said, I don't want to read a Protestant Bible. Show me out of my own Bible. And we're right there to John chapter 3, and it said there, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born from above, he'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And that'll work just fine. Because the birth that you had here on this earth, you had a birth here, you need another birth now. Amen? So all of a sudden, I never saw that before. The point is, God has not abandoned this world. Even though the devil corrupts the Bible, even though the devil has fed so much rubbish, you can still use things and get the gospel out. Amen? So, man, if anybody open a Bible with me, I can deal with them. Amen? So get them to open the Bible. Make sure, hey, you start dealing with, don't act like you know, I wasn't a Catholic before I got saved. So if you start dealing with Catholics, make sure you read up on it. Because they'll say all kinds of things. And you need to be like, no, that's not what Catholics believe. Come on. You don't really believe that. You need to be able to pin them down. The best thing you can do is give your personal testimony how you were born again. Maybe not start at 1969, but that was cute. But give them your testimony. Tell them that religion cannot save, that Mary is not a valid mediator, but that Jesus alone, and I love taking them to Psalm 78, is it? Somewhere around Psalm 78, 21, it says this, whom have I in heaven but thee? Wow, that's powerful. David said, who else is there in heaven that I have anything to do with but God Himself? Amen. Not Mary, not Joseph, not Blessed John the Baptist, only God. And show them Jesus is the only one mediator. Amen. So, now, that's just to give you some background. When you deal with Roman Catholics, they know all the terminology. And this is what I usually say. I'll say, you know all the things, but salvation, the difference between going to heaven or going to hell, is about 12 inches. And whatever you know up here needs to transfer down here. The reason why you're not trusting is because you got a lot of confusion. Let me tell you, God is not the author of confusion. He wrote this Bible to make things very simple and very true. Can I show you what is true? Amen. So that's how you, and that's not very complicated. Just don't let them freak you out. Talk to them as you would like somebody to talk to you when given the gospel, that they would respect that, okay, I know you're religious, I know you're probably much better than I am. But let me tell you, only Jesus was the only perfect person who walked on this earth. And if you were to die today, where would you go? And I'll give you more about that. If you start to share the gospel with them, these are some of the background things that you need to do. Secondly, if you deal with a Muslim, I think, Brother Tony, you dealt with a Muslim yesterday. Dan, did you deal with a Muslim?
Yes.
They're out there, man. Some things to think about. Be courteous. Be loving. You know what? A Muslim, their God is not loving. And they've had people who have judged them on the basis of extremists, yes. And they had people who have probably verbally abused them and probably even in their own family. They've never known the kind of love that only Christians talk about. Why don't you try and love them? Not in words, don't say I love you, but actually care about them. Be courteous and caring. Be already acquainted with their basic beliefs. Most people in this room, you bought that book by Brother Edgar Figali, read it. Underline it. Get it in your head so that when you're at the door, you already know and that you have some interest in their beliefs. Hey, allow them to talk. See, sometimes when we go to the door, we start off right that way. It says, you know, you're a sinner. You know this or that. And we've left them at point one. Sometimes we need to get them on the same sheet, the same page. Amen. So talk to them about their beliefs. I found that most Muslims that I've met here in Ireland love to talk religion. They'll talk a whole day and all night. It is amazing how much they want to talk about it. Use that to your advantage. Be willing to examine passages in the Quran concerning their beliefs and go, yes, wow, yes. Because what you're doing is earning respect and say, can I show you something from the Bible now? Can I show you what Jesus says? Stick to explaining the central doctrines of the Christian faith. You don't want to talk about all kinds of, you know, wild and crazy things. You don't have to. You don't need to talk about creation evolution with a Muslim. All right. What you need to talk about is that God in heaven does worry about where you will go and that your good works are never going to be good enough. A Muslim needs to know that Jesus Christ is the center focus of their salvation, not themselves. And use illustrations. I use doctor hospital situations all the time and just say, and they love stories. You ever notice how many times Jesus told stories? Because Middle Eastern people, Orientals especially, love stories. And I think sometimes the Irish are Oriental because you guys love stories, man. The storytellers in your background that would tell, that would spin a yarn a mile long. And so tell a story and say, listen, if you had an appendicitis, if your appendix was about to burst, and they rushed you into the hospital, could you help the doctor out? Could you guide his hand? Could you do all kinds of good works? Or would you just simply lay out on the table, sign a little piece of paper saying you're not going to sue him, and then that doctor does the work, correct? And that's what God wants to do. You see, God has to save you or else you cannot be saved. Get them interested in understanding why God had to intervene. Stress that because of Jesus, because of His cross and His resurrection, anyone can have the full assurance of salvation both now and for eternity. Show them 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And boy, that's going to upset them. Son of God, God can't have a son as far as they're concerned. Just read it anyway, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And just tell them, you know the difference between you and me? Not our religions. It's the fact I know I have eternal life. And I have it not because I'm any better than you, but simply because I took Jesus Christ and He gave me the whole package. Run them back up to verse 11. It says, this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have the privilege of opening your Bible to anyone, whether Catholic or Muslim, you have a great, great opportunity. Show them the best verses, will you? Show them John 3:16. Show them the verses that meant something good to you. You say the Catholic, the Muslims have all kinds of different understandings. Sure, but they will be attracted to your passion for the truth. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you power in your witnessing. And trust Him that He'll give you wisdom. You're not going to be an Edgar Fayali. You're not going to have all of the wisest words. But what you want to do is get them thinking. Amen? The woman who witnessed to me at the coffee shop, she planted so many upsetting seeds in my heart. Just got me aggravated. Amen? Got me where I want to go find out what that's like. She wasn't the greatest scientist or the greatest apologist. She just put some serious thoughts in my heart so that when she left, I wasn't mad at her. As a matter of fact, I wanted to go to her church. I wanted to go see what this was like. You may not realize, but we've had several Muslims come to our church. This last one was named Tuba. Remember her? She had been working down at Kearns and invited her out, and there she was. You never know what things have been planted just by a few encounters with Christians. She lives now back home with her father in Turkey. I don't think she'll ever get the gospel again. We better make it good now. When you get a chance to witness to a Muslim, boy, give them the best that you've got. Get there. Be willing to become a friend of that Muslim, especially if a Muslim's living here. Say, hey, let's talk again. You're not going to win them the first time you talk to them, amen? And if you are able to meet them up again and again, then say, let's talk again. And keep building and keep planting and keep watering. Because who gives the increase? God does. So don't figure out, well, they didn't get saved when I witnessed to them. They're never going to get saved. Don't be so pious there. You're just a planner, amen? When you're dealing with a Muslim, just realize if they let you open that Bible, you have a great privilege. Just seek to do it. And ask them, says, what does your Quran say about heaven? What does your Quran say about forgiveness? And you know what? They don't have anything about forgiveness. Let's move on. If you're dealing, and this is the other half, mainly you'll be dealing with Roman Catholics, and the other half of the people population are what we call secular humanists, agnostic and atheists. We had one there yesterday. I'm an atheist. Oh, man, you almost want to open the door and says, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry for you, you know. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me show you about dealing with people who we know are agnostics and atheists and humanists. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Brother Dennis, if you'd read. Wow, this is a lot. Sorry. If you'll do 18, 19 to 23. Just down to 23, Brother Dennis. 18 to 23. 1. Yes, for the preaching of the cross. Amen. Boy. Now you can go on and on and on. And the idea is this, that God has made the gospel foolish. He did it on purpose. He didn't make it, you know, so wise sounding and so smart. Now most of us, the more we looked in it, the more awesome it is, amen? The more amazing the gospel is and how wise God is. But you see, when you're lost, God wanted it to be foolish. God wanted it, let me put another word, wanted it to be humiliating. Because look at down there in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence, amen? Listen, look back to verse 19. God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing all the understanding of the prudent. We watched a video called Expelled. and it had Richard Dawkins pontificating there. And Richard Dawkins was telling, what's his name? Simon? Ben Stein. Ben Stein, who did the video. He was talking to him, and Ben Stein was saying, "Do you accept that creation could have been done by anybody?" And he said, "No, it cannot be done by God. There's no way. We will not accept that there's a God out there that created, or there's someone intelligent." And he caught himself. Well, if we found some little code in the DNA that some aliens had put into our DNA telling us that they had created us, then we might believe it. You see how they work themselves? They're more foolish than your three-year-old, amen? So don't try to debate them on that level. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't try to be at their level and try to debate them at their level. Remember 1 Corinthians 1. Don't try to debate them on an intellectual basis, even though the Bible is both scientifically and historically accurate. Amen?
Amen.
We were at a door. Nita and I, we went back to this guy who was kind of interested, and I went back. And he asked, he says, "How do we know the Bible's even true?" Instantly, I started dealing with him, and I says, "Prophecy proves it true." And I went through his birthplace, the age of him, when he died, the fact that he died between two thieves, the fact that he died by piercing of the hands and piercing of the feet. And he went, I gotta go. He had to leave. It is scientifically true, but that's not what's going to win them. Everybody, what do you need to talk to them about? Talk to them about the sin question. Deal with them about sin. Everybody knows they're a sinner. I don't care how atheistic you are. Everybody can admit to our sinful nature. How do you convince, Brother Martin, how do you convince them they're a sinner?
Use the
Ten Commandments. I don't care if you're atheist. You know the Ten Commandments, and you know they are good, and you know people break them all the time. And that, you can say, have you ever lied? You don't have to say, you know, have you ever broken the Sixth Commandment? You don't have to say that. All you have to say, have you ever lied? Well, yeah, you know. you ever stole anything? You know, deal with the easy ones. You ever hated anyone? You ever wanted to murder somebody? I mean, then you're a sinner. Just nail them. You've got to do that. So when you're dealing out, you're going to need to get the Roman Catholic lost. You're going to have to get the Muslim lost. But the secular humanist has decided that they have no soul, that there's no moral absolutes. Everything is relative. So deal with them about sin and bring them back down to earth and make them squirm. Amen. Because their conscience knows they're a sinner. Amen. So that's the first question. Jack House has a great message on the sin question. And then the son question. Deal with them about sin, and then you can deal with them about the son. Amen. Get them lost. I say use prophecy as proof that they need, any kind of proof that the Bible is true. But that's not going to win them. That's going to get them where they'll be willing to look into the Bible. And again, give your testimony how God got your attention. Most every one of us thought we were intellectual before we got saved. Most of us thought, oh, I have it all figured out. God doesn't fit in my little box. So relate to them and tell them, I was a little bit like you. Finally, get their attention off of religion's failure. I taught at CIT. I taught about creation and evolution, and had a room full of people from the astrophysics department. And I went through the entire presentation for an hour, and then they started asking questions. And as soon as I could separate the Catholic Church from the Bible in their mind, and start to say, the church did not teach the Bible. This is what the Bible says scientifically. And as soon as they saw the Bible was scientifically true, man, the questions started coming. What about this? What about that? And what people need to understand is many times they confuse the Bible with religion, don't they? They think the Catholic Church is built upon the Bible. The Protestants think all their Protestant churches are built upon the Bible. And it's not. And when you separate that and all of a sudden they're interested in just the Bible, you'd be surprised how hungry they are. Start talking to them like they're in trouble with God. I mean, just look at them and says, you're in trouble with God. You've tried to switch them out. You're like a detective sergeant who's gone onto a crime scene. A man's been squished. He's in the middle of the sitting room. He's crushed in there. And you're in that room and you're looking for clues of how this man died. And you keep bumping into this big object. It's an elephant. But you determine there are no such things as elephants. So you keep looking around. You keep bumping into this elephant. I'm picking on Jim here. You keep bumping into this elephant. And you're looking around and you're trying to find clues. But you will not accept the fact there are elephants. And the elephants squish people when they want to. And you've done the same thing. You're looking for clues, for understanding of how this world works, and you keep bumping into God, and you keep saying, but there's no God, there's no God. Don't make the mistake, because your soul depends on it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking off the cuff. It's so easy to talk when they're not here. But be confident. The Holy Spirit will give you something to say. Fourthly, we're going to have some fun. These guys, answer me, they're scary, aren't they? Because they have very good feet that get right in the door and they won't leave. And then they hand in all this literature. And if you've ever tried to witness to them, it's like talking to a wall. But they're not unbeatable. When I say beat, they're not unwinnable. Look at your Bible. Well, let me go to the Bible here. A, if you're dealing with the Jehovah's Witness, let me give you some background. Salvation for them is only obtained by doing constant good works. Sounds like a Catholic. For them, Jesus is believed to be a created God who came and lived the good Jehovah's Witness life and then died for his faith. That's what they believe. He's a good Jehovah's Witness. See, to the Jehovah's Witness, Jehovah is the only Savior, not Jesus. They don't believe the Holy Ghost is a real person. He's only a force emanating from God. As far as your soul, they believe you are a soul, not that you have a soul. They have made dozens and dozens of false prophecies since 1874, predicting specifically the visible return of Jesus Christ and the world. And I'm telling you, after 30-some-odd prophecies being proven wrong, they still believe that they're right. F, the soul winner will have a hard time working with Jehovah's Witnesses simply because they are usually very well trained to only think within a small box of doctrine. They have been very well trained with about 12 scriptures, and that's it. The key is to show them, even from their own translation of the Bible, that even it shows that Jesus is God in the flesh. Let's go to Isaiah 43 and verse 11. Isaiah 43 and verse 11. And see, Brother Paul. Yes. All right, now you see that word Lord there. Every one of those letters are capitalized, aren't they? All right, now that's the King James translators helping you out. They're telling you that that word under the word Lord is Jehovah. Okay? Now, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you find another time when it says Lord and it's big L, little O, little R, little D, that is a Hebrew word Adonai. It means master, but not Jehovah. But here, Jehovah says, I am the Lord and there is no other Savior but me. Does he say that? Yes or no? All right, let's go to Isaiah 45 and verse 21, Brother Paul. Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Yes, sir. Pretty exclusive, amen? He's the only God and he's the only what? Savior. Now, let's go to Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Now, you might meet somebody who's really trying to be a smart aleck, but most people are stumped when you just plainly show them a simple thing
Brother Paul, 4:12. Now, if God's the only Savior, and there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, how are we going to get saved? Jesus and Jehovah must be the same. They got to be the same. Amen? You say, is it that simple? Well, rarely, but give them that and make them mad. Amen? Billy Sunday made it real simple. He says, when you preach the gospel, either make them glad or make them mad, but do something. Amen? Amen. From there, show them that God came as a perfect man and died in their place as their only Savior. Go to John 14 and verse 6. All those verses you've learned in church here, and we've gone over, and we know John 14, 6. You know what? Jehovah's Witness doesn't know. You'll be surprised. They may think they know it, but when you show it to them, it's like brand new. John 14, 6. Again, we're dealing with God is the only Savior, right? Go ahead there, Paul. Man, oh man, oh man. All right. Either God saves us or Jesus does, or they both are the same one. Amen. All right. And you know what you might do if you're talking to them? Just be bold enough to say, hey, how about a Bible study? Would you like to come over to my house? I've got a friend. His name's Craig. And he'd love to open the Bible and talk to you. Amen. How about a Bible? They're always asking you to come to their Bible studies. Why don't you ask them? Amen. Now, you'll find that they mainly will not take a gospel tract from you. But if you are caring about them and not wanting to get an argument, if you are caring about them, and if you hand them a gospel leaflet, they might just take it. They are trained to never, ever take anything from anybody. Wow, that's a cult, amen? They'll ask you to take a leaflet. They'll ask you to come to Bible study. Turn around and say, we got a Wednesday night Bible study. Why don't you come meet all the folks? They're just normal people. And it'll freak them out. You want me to come? You can't come into our big meetings. And people aren't allowed into their kingdom hall unless they're a really devout Jehovah's Witness. What I'm telling you is, care about them enough to invite them. It really means a lot to them. Any questions before we go on? And if you do have a question, please put your hand up. Yes, sir, brother.
I have a question, but I'm just thinking that Luke chapter 2, verse 11.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's in their Bible.
That's right. That's right. Oh, there's plenty in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I can give you every. I've had somebody says, "Well, that's a Savior." That's what they said to me. That's a Savior. And I went, "Wait. How many Saviors are there?" Yeah. Always go back to Isaiah. There is none other Savior. They're dead. They're dead. All right. Well, this is under heaven. But what about the name in heaven? No. How many Saviors are there?
One.
All right. So the one under heaven is the same as the one above heaven. Amen. It has to be. I'm glad I'm saved, amen? I don't have to be a rocket scientist. I just got to believe it. Yes, sir, Brother Dennis. Sure. Yes, sir. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty, not a Mighty God, but the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You know, why the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know what they had to do back in 1957? When was the first New World Translation printed? And they've had 8 editions, by the way. They've had to keep correcting it. But they had to rewrite the Bible in order to get rid of the truth. Yes, sir, Brother Kim.
Did you say that they won't invite us to the kingdom hall?
Usually, you're not allowed to just come right into the kingdom hall. Okay? I've never been invited, and I've never known anybody else has been invited as a normal Joe Soap, just to come in for a visitor. Now, they want you to come to a Bible study. They want you to come into their home or to a meeting, but not to their normal worship. They're very exclusive about that. I don't know why. I've never been in one. Josh, did you have your hand up? You've been invited. Well, yeah, but they spent a year with you or whatever. They probably. I can only tell. You're the first person I ever met who actually got invited in. I'm just telling you, a little kindness can go a long way. Amen. Didn't it go a long way with you? And with anybody. Didn't it go a long way with you when somebody was kind enough to invite you along and say, why don't you come along? Any other questions? Okay. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen, amen. Nope, nope. But here's the point. You know, before I got saved, I had all kinds of wrong doctrine too, didn't you? Amen. So they're all the same. How many religions are there in the world? Only two. Do, and done. So whether you're Jehovah's Witness or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or Jehovah's Witness, they're just different flavors of the same ice cream. Amen. And they've all got to be dealt with, maybe a little bit differently, but first of all, with prayer and at least trying. Amen. All right. Bring them to a decision. Bring them to a decision. Don't just leave them hanging. Don't just try to get them lost and then leave them hanging. You need to do some things. One of all, first thing you need to do is ask those who are interested a very important question. What would keep you from repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to save you right now? You know, if you've had the chance to go through the gospel with them. Now, I start the gospel with a question. Anybody know what question you can start the gospel with? That's a good question to start at. Amen. But if you've had the privilege of going through the gospel with them, now's the time to ask them, what would keep you from repenting and getting saved right now? Notice the two words I'm using. What are they? Repent and saved. Use those words. Repentance already is in their mind, but salvation, they need to know what that means. Amen? So ask them, what would keep you from repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to save you right now? And I ask them another question. If they say nothing, then I'd say, will you take my hand right now and pray and write this down? And as best as you know how, would you ask God to forgive you of your sin and make you His child? As best as you know how. Now, why would I do that? Why would I sit down or stand with somebody and say, would you take my hand? Go ahead. And would you pray and ask God to save you? Why would I do that? Why would I ask Him? Anybody? Okay, partially, it's the same as say, will you kneel with me right now and pray? Kind of like that. It's serious. Another thing, yes. He may not know how to pray, and just the confidence of somebody saying, I'll pray with you. You don't realize how much a touch means, all right? But there's something strong about them reaching out their hand is an act of faith. Would you understand that? Now, I'm not going to save them, but I'm just trying to get it. Just as you're grabbing my hand, you can talk to God. I stop there. I'm just going to hold their hand, and it's kind of like I'm hand-holding them across the road. You understand what I'm doing? And it is very powerful to help them know He's going to help me. I'm not on my own. All right? So, maybe you don't feel comfortable doing that. Okay, but I like doing that. Two, if they don't want to get saved, then tell them you'll be praying for them. I've had people say, I don't want your prayer. You know, it's kind of funny how they are. Stop praying. You know? Stop that. Tell them, I'm going to pray for you. And I really like to see you in church. You're always welcome. Amen. ask them, hey, you don't have to get saved right now, but let me tell you, you got to get saved before it's too late. You can, and while you're getting ready to leave, just say, you know, you can repent and ask Jesus to save you at your bedside. Maybe tonight you go to bed and the Lord will remind you all of these things. And if He pulls on your heart, would you listen to Him? I may never meet you again. I just want to see you in heaven. What am I doing? Putting the pressure back on them where they've got to think about they are rejecting an opportunity. So maybe you say, well, I've had people say, well, I just don't have any feeling. I don't have any need. I don't sense any need to do this. Say, all right, well, why don't you pray and ask God, is this serious? And if He tells you it's serious, I would definitely talk to Him about it. Then leave them a gospel leaflet. Write down their name, and would you please promise Almighty God that you will pray for them until they get saved? How many remember John Crabb? Anybody remember John Crabb? You know what he's got? He's got most of your names in a book he prays for you every day. And you know what else? Everyone he meets, he prays for Michael Morgan because he met him one day at the door. Remember that? Do you know he prays for Jeremy Marcel? Or Grindow, sorry, that was the first name. He prays when he meets somebody at the door and he says, I'm going to pray for you. He goes home and he writes their name in his prayer book. His prayer book's this thick of all the names of all the people he's met as a Christian that he prays for until they get saved and even after they got saved. What am I saying? You know, if you've had the privilege of talking to somebody for 15, 20, 30 minutes and they're not ready to get saved, tell them, I'm going to pray for you, and then do it. Amen. Do it, because prayer will make the difference. Will everybody want to get saved? No. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. There's so many people you're going to encounter and they're going to go, no. Does Jesus say turn our back and ignore them, or does Jesus say care for them? 3. But what if they do want to get saved? Amen. What if they do? A. Ask them to pray first. If somebody's going to get saved, they need to pray. Don't you pray for them. Amen? Tell them as best as you know how. Hey, you need to believe that God can save them. Amen? Not that you can. Amen? You've led them to Christ. You've introduced them. It's kind of like when I introduced Kevin to Eileen. I had to back away and say, now Kevin, talk to her. And he did. Amen? They got along just fine. You're going to need to bring the sinner to the cross and then back. You need to be careful, because they're going to say, I don't know how to pray. That's an excuse. All right? If they were in a hospital bed, dying of pain, they know how to pray. All right? Maybe we haven't done our job getting them lost enough for them to want to pray. So when you're giving the gospel, you cannot do the saving for them. Do you understand? So, but if they do say, if you look through and says, what would stop you from getting saved right now? Would you like to repent of your sins and talk to God and say, I'm sorry, would you like to get saved today? And they said, yes. Then say, then do it. Oh, what do I say? All right, maybe you need to give them an example, but let them pray. Ask them to pray first. Ask them, hey, you know what to do? Gina, I say, now what are you going to say? They're already ready to bow their hands and say, no, what are you going to say? And make them think about what they're going to say. Now, why would I do that? They're about to make the most important decision of their life. And maybe they've never really thought. Now, what are you going to say? How are you going to talk to God? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to say, God, I want to do that. No, that's not what you need to ask Him. Amen? Now you can help Him. Well, what do I need to ask? Well, first you need to confess that you're a sinner. Yes. Okay. Well, tell them that. Okay. If they're hesitant, and this is kind of important, if they're hesitant or unsure, then slow down. Don't make them pray. Why would somebody pray if you ask them to pray? Well, probably, if they're hesitant or unsure about getting saved, why would they go ahead and pray? Bozzy, do you know? Why would somebody go ahead and say, oh, I'll go ahead and pray? A hard question, Martin. To get rid of you. Don't push. Don't make this where they just get it over with. Amen? You don't want that. You see, I'm not giving you just 4 things you need to tell everybody that you meet. I'm giving you some real structure, what you talk about, because you just don't want everybody to repeat 4 doctrinal truths. You want them to really consider and want to be saved. Does that make sense? Because they will get rid of you as fast as they can if they know, oh, if I just pray this prayer, he'll leave me alone. All right? So if you can tell they're hesitant or unsure and they say, well, you know, I led somebody to Christ and I had them pray and they prayed and then they looked up and I could see. They're just trying to get rid of me. I said, you didn't mean it. They looked at me and said, well, I don't know what else to do. I said, look, where are you going when you die? He said, well, you keep telling me I'm going to hell. I had to stop right there and I said, hold on. And I took him, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Ye serpents, ye vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? I took him from 5 to 6. I said, who's telling you you're going to hell? Well, Jesus is. Okay. Why would anybody go to hell? Because we're sinners. Are you a sinner? Well, I'm not that bad. Had to go through the whole thing again. Amen? I could have been finished 15 minutes earlier, but I went through it again. You're not going to like this. But I said, are you ready to get saved now? He said, yeah, I guess so. Do you want to go to hell? No. 3 times. And I asked him, listen, I'm through, man. I've gone through it 3 times. No, I want to get saved. Okay, now let's pray. Amen? So don't think, well, man, I got a schedule. I got to go do this. You know, he's got a prayer. I got to get out of here. If he's not ready or she's not ready to get saved, don't inoculate them. Don't get them where, oh, I've already prayed that and it didn't work. Amen? They need to want to be saved. And they need to understand enough to say, don't go anywhere until I'm finished. Amen? I want to get saved. All right. And tell them, B, or is it B in yours? I don't know. Down there, tell them it's time. Tell them it's time. When you're talking to somebody about their soul, tell them this is no accident. Today is the day of salvation. Ask them to pray out loud. Why would you do that? Brother Kevin, why would you ask somebody to pray out loud? Amen. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. All right? There's also another reason why you should ask them to pray out loud. Why? Amen. Now, can they get saved without verbalizing it at that moment? Of course they can. Amen. They get saved, and many people do. But I'm giving you the best optimum way for people to be able to look back and say, I got saved. Because when you're rolling her over in your head and you're trying to pray in your head, sometimes all kinds of crazy thoughts go through your mind. And it's just nice to be able to just verbalize it because it means something. Amen? All right. Get them to pray out loud. Now maybe they say, no, I can't pray out loud. Okay. Amen? Let them pray silently. But the best way is to get them to pray out loud. Next, while they're praying, let's see, here we are. Forgot I had this. Listen carefully and check for a spiritual heartbeat. What am I saying? When they are praying out loud, you know what you're going to start sensing? They're alive. Something's happening. The Spirit of God has moved in and you can hear them as they go from, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Oh God, I've lived my life away from you. I've lived my life my way. I was stupid. And right now I ask you to save me. And oh God, thank you for Jesus Christ. God, I just lean on His name. Right now I'm just trusting His name. And I'm pleading, God, that you would wash away all my sins. And Lord, oh, it's just wonderful to be able to talk to you. All of a sudden you can see the darkness turning to light. Amen. There's a spiritual heartbeat there that takes place when somebody gets saved. Hey, when they finish praying, rejoice. Man, look at them with the biggest smile you can. Don't go, oh, I'm glad I'm finished. I'll see you on Sunday. A baby was just born. Amen. Hey, my wife had 5 kids. And every one of them, I was there. And you know what happened when that baby was born? Now, she was sweating, but I was smiling. It was exciting being there. I was delighted at this new baby. There's no way to go, all right, well, honey, I got to go golf and I'll see you later, you know. No, there's a new baby in the room, amen? And so rejoice with them, because that's going to lead to my next thing. When ask them, I've always asked this question. All right, I'm in the great habit of saying, what just happened? And they say, well, I just asked the Lord to save me. All right, according to the Bible, did He save you? Yeah, I guess He did. Well, if you got saved, what kind of a gift did you just get? I got the gift of God. I got the gift of eternal life. Is that a pretty priceless gift? Yeah. What are you supposed to do when you get a gift? I've had some people say, I got to thank God. And right off the bat, they bow their head, thank you, God, for saving somebody like me. But get them to thank God. If they got saved, they ought to be able to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm just trying to help you so that this isn't just a quick little encounter. Amen? Get them to thank God.
And then there are some key verses you might show them. Romans 10:13. Who can quote that one? Raise your hand. Romans 10:13. Come on. Brother John. Shall be saved. That shall is a legal term. Amen. It's a done deal. What does Romans 10:11 say? Anybody know that one? 10:11. No. That's 10:9 and 10. Verse 11. Do you know, Barry? That whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. And I asked him, are you ashamed? Well, no. Amen. Then you're saved. That's assurance. Amen. If you're embarrassed, you wonder about it. What is Hebrews 13:5? I love that verse. That was Edgar Figali's favorite verse. Anybody remember it? Yes, sir, Brother Martin. Nope. Hebrews 13:5. You're thinking of Luke 13:5. Or Luke 13. Yes, ma'am. No, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that's a good comfort verse. Amen. And then how about Hebrews 10:25? That's a... Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And what are you saying? You're trying to show them, hey, now you're to hang around with different birds. Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. And if you want to be encouraged, come out to church. Show them those four verses. There's so many more you could do. So what do we do to win souls? First thing, pray. Second thing, what's the next thing? Go. Jim knows it. Go into all the world. Third thing, teach on the cross. Fourth thing, prod those who are unconcerned. We have the bad habit of, we may be sitting next to somebody and we try to hand them a gospel tract and they shove it back. Okay. No, I'm serious. This is for your good. This is something you need. Again, I used my life when the woman, Maureen Smith, handed me a gospel leaflet. We looked at it. I'd never been given a gospel tract before. And I looked at it and I saw it was all about Jesus and I started to hand it back. She said, and we said, we don't want this. What is she saying? She says, I wouldn't make fun of that. That's your ticket out of hell. I better look at it again. She made me want to keep it. Amen? Do you understand? Prod the unconcerned. What was the next thing? Don't look at your notes. Huh? Anybody remember? Be ready to deal with skeptics. You had it. Deal with skeptics. You're not going to deal with people who are looking for God normally, are you? Amen? Deal with skeptics. Bring them to a decision. Isn't it true? If they don't want to get saved, they have made a decision, haven't they? Help them realize they're making the decision. Help them. If they don't want to get saved, look at them and say, I'm going to pray for you because you're making the wrong decision. Well, I'm just not interested right now. Right now is the only chance you've got. It's the only sure thing you've got. You don't have the guarantee of tomorrow. And then lastly, it is my next point. Go out and win somebody. Amen. Hey, we're part of the team now. We're part of the search and rescue team of the Bible Baptist Church. Amen. That means we need to be on call 24/7. Ready to get the gospel out. Any questions before we close? I have on the back page there a list of scriptures that maybe you ought to put in the back of your Bible. If you've got a New Testament, I have them in the back of mine. And scriptures that help you deal with questions about Roman Catholicism, whether Mary was a sinner or not. You can take them right to the scripture in Luke chapter 1 where Mary says, I magnify God my Savior. Amen. Show them. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Show them there's no need to pray through any saint or through Mary. You can answer a load of things if you have them written down in your Bible. Now, again, none of that stuff's going to win them, but it might get them interested in knowing, wow, I didn't know that there's more to the Bible. Okay? So that's a good little list for four different groups we will put in the back of your Bible and to use. And believe me, you'll come up with your own list. You'll learn so much going out soul winning. It'll bless a family, a husband and wife going out soul winning. And you know what it does? Man, the devil will fight against you, but when you're out, everything will be stripped away because you're concerned about a soul. Amen. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we got to rejoice today. Already on Tuesday, Noel O'Mahony got saved. God, this month we've seen now 4 saved. We saw yesterday 28 out soul winning. Lord, we're only just beginning. There's so much more work to do, but you're mobilizing us and you're encouraging us. The information we've learned tonight will die if we don't use it. Good news is only good if it gets to somebody in time. If we just take all this and store it away in our computers and we don't open our mouth on the job tomorrow, if we don't warn somebody, if we don't care about somebody, it's not good news anymore. So Lord, please burden our hearts. Make us soul winners. Thank you for a wonderful church. God, this is the best church. But we can even be better. Lord, and I pray that we would bear fruit. This is what you wanted, God. You said, by this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Would we do that? Would we come out of our comfort zone? Would we allow ourselves to be mocked and embarrassed and persecuted as we go? Lord, just for the thrill of saving one person. We never save anybody, but we can be part of it. And Lord, I pray that you transform our lives and our homes just because we've gotten into this search and rescue team. Lord, bless us as we leave here tonight. We need you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.